All right. So I'd like to just briefly address some of the questions of Isha ben Er Chanukah and the related topic of Afein Hayuv Oso Hanes. So the Gemara makes it very clear in our Gemara, in Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, that there is a chiyuv of nashim in Ner Chanukah. However, that's about all that's clear once you get into the Rishonim, because there seems to be a lot of room to figure out exactly what's going on. The Gemara connects this to the principle of Afein Hayuv Oso Hanes. In other words, it sounds like you could have thought that women should be peturos, because presumably it's a mitzvah saseh shahazman grama, so maybe you would not have expected women to be obligated in this. Now, parenthetically, I didn't put this on the Marmar Komos, but there's some debate about whether the exemption of mitzvah saseh shahazman grama is relevant to dinim d'rabbanan. Rashi, Maseches Brachos, and Daf Chaf Amud Beis seems to be of the opinion that there is no such exemption on a level midrabbanan. Tosfos over there disagrees, talking about the concept of halal, which is very relevant to what we were talking about previously. And that's the whole topic in itself. We're not even going to focus so much on any of the many themes one could investigate within mitzvah saseh shahazman grama. But it seems to be the presumption here that there could have been a p'tur, and nonetheless, we have a klal of afein hayu ba'oso hanes. That means that women are chayavos. So if women are chayavos, so one would get the impression from the pashtus of the language that they're chayavos essentially the same way men are, that there shouldn't be any distinction. And indeed, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that way. The Magen Avraham reads the Shulchan Aruch to be saying that women can light on behalf of men, men can light on behalf of women. There's no distinction lahalacha. And the Gemara's text kind of supports that, because the Gemara, first of all, doesn't indicate any kind of a distinction. And also, the context is that we're talking about lighting on behalf of the household, because we just came off the Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah discussion, where the Gemara had said that if Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, that's why, if you notice, when I put the, I wasn't sure whether to put the Gemara on the Marmar Komos this morning, because you already saw it last week from the Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah Sugya. Then once I put it on, I adjusted it, because first I just put on the line, I'm Rishua ben Levi, Isha Vadai Madlakes, but then I realized it's important to see the context of the line earlier, so I moved it up a line. That the point was that it seems to Davka be contrasting with Cherushot V'Katan, that Cherushot V'Katan are not obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and therefore if we say Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, that would not be an acceptable way to perform it. And then the Gemara says, these Shavada Madlakas, sounds like it's not only not distinguishing between men and women, but that Davka, the whole thrust of Halacha, is to say that women are obligated and can light on behalf of the household. That seems to be the whole intent of the Gemara, and Davka bringing it up in that context. And that's the most likely Halachic conclusion as well. Again, that's how the Magen Avraham reads the Shulchan Aruch, and that seems to be the most prevalent practice. However, there's a little bit of a machlokas about it. And the Meiri, for example, if you saw the Meiri quotes a little bit of a machlokas about this issue. There was a minority view among the Rishonim that women cannot light on behalf of men. So what we want to try to discuss for the next few minutes is two things. That first of all, if it's true that women can light for men, so how does that compare to Megillah, which we'll see is a little more complicated? And if there's a difference, why is there a difference? And that's the most likely possibility, that there is a difference. But if there's no difference and that they both have some type of an issue, so what's the nature of that issue? So we have to take a little bit of a detour into Megillah. Again, I have to decide perm time whether we'll talk about this in more detail. It's a fascinating sugya, essentially, but we'll try to just say the bare minimum needed to get through this discussion. That the Gemara sounds like in Maseches Megillah on Daf Dalet, pretty much the same thing. The Gemara sounds like women are chayavos in the mitzvah of Megillah. And if that's the case, one could get the impression that women can read Megillah for men. And there were Rishonim, such as Rashi and the Rambam, who felt that was the case. that women could read the Megillah for men. However, and this is the Gemara Maseches Erechin as well, the beginning of Maseches Erechin, Gemara gets into the whole discussion of all the Hakol Chayavins, what does it mean? And in that context, the Gemara talks about it there also, and the Rishonim in the beginning of Erechin who take sides on this issue also. So the problem is, the Shulchan Aruch adopts a view that a lot of the Rishonim quote from the Bahag, that the Bahag's position is that women cannot read for men, that they're not chayiv in the same way. And the question is, why not? So the way the Rush and others explain the Bahag is that the chiyuv is formulated differently. That, and I was deliberate a few minutes ago, I said women are chayiv in Megillah. What about Megillah? So the way the Bahag is interpreted by some of the Rishonim, he's saying that women are obligated in hearing the Megillah, while men are obligated in reading the Megillah. Now most of the men you know don't read the Megillah either. So they are fulfilling their obligation through Shemei Ka'ona. So Shemei Ka'ona means, and we talked about that at some length, last year, that if you hear somebody else speaking, it's as if you are speaking. So then, okay, the obligation is really Mikra Megillah, but it's fulfilled through listening to somebody else. In contrast with, I think, as we did speak about this year, about Shofar, a Shofar we saw as a machlokas, but the majority view by Shofar is that the mitzvah is hearing it. It's not that you're using somebody else to fulfill your mitzvah of blowing the Shofar, even though that was a minority view in Rishonim, but that is likely that there's a distinction, that Shofar, the mitzvah is to hear it, and Megillah, the mitzvah is to read it, but you could do it through Shemei Ka'ona. And therefore, there's a difference between men and women, that women are only obligated to hear the Megillah, and that's not the same as the men's obligation. Yosef?
What's the reasoning to distinguish by Megillah that way?
So that's the big question. That's where you get into a big, big story. So if you have this two-tiered distinction, so then we could try to explain what he means. But so first of all, so there's two basic schools of thought as to how to explain the view of the Bahag. One is the Turiyevin. And the Turiyevin and others, we mentioned some of these ideas more bekitzer when we're talking about Halal, and they're just spelling them out a little bit more clearly. That one approach to take is that it's a lower level chiyuv. We call it something else, but it's a lower level chiyuv. So that's the issue. You can't have women be motzi men because the chiyuv simply is quantitatively different. So why should that be? So when it comes to Mikra Megillah, there's a mahalach which may not work for Chanukah. And that might be where there's a distinction. But when it comes to Mikra Megillah, so Turiyevin maintains, we've talked a lot recently about the concept of Divrei Kabbalah, that there are things that are transmitted to us through Nevi'im, and therefore they have a status like a quasi-Doraisa. So Mikra Megillah could be in such a status, and sounds like it is. That's referenced in the Pasuk in Esther. V'hayamim ha'elu nizkarim v'na'asim. So nizkarim is a reference to Mikra Megillah. So therefore we understand, or many understand, that reading the Megillah is a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah. So if that's the case, so then one could ask, what's the power of Afen Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes? So maybe Afen Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes is only a klal midrabanan. In other words, it means that really women are pater. But Chazal made a chiyuv. This correlates a little bit to the question we've also mentioned in the past, the Chakira, the Briska Rav has in Erechin, and Daf Gemel, we mentioned this comes up in the beginning of Erechin. So the Briska Rav Svarim are all in Kutchin. So the Briska Rav in Erechin and Daf Gemel, so he has a Chakira like this, that essentially do we say that Afen Hayu Ba'oso Anes means that we do not apply the Ptur of Mitzvah Sasei Azman Grama, so the Chiyuv stays as it is. Or should we say, no, you are pater. But there's a new chiyuv that comes from Afen Hoyu Ba'oso Hanes. So then you could come up with a conclusion that you have a differentiated chiyuv when it comes to Megillas Esther. that men are chayiv midivrei Kabbalah, and women are chayavos midrabanan, and therefore they can't be motzi men because of that disparity in chiyuv. Rekiv Eger didn't like this story evidence, the whole discussion. But if that's the case, it would be harder to apply that to Hanukkah, because Hanukkah seems to be a straight drabanan. So it seems like it all happened in one breath, essentially. Hey, mamru, hey, mamru. And that the chiyuv of Afen Hayubo Sodei should be equal to the din drabanan of Ner Hanukkah. So that could answer the question that if one wants to know, well, why is it that Megillah we have a distinction and Hanukkah we don't have seem to have a distinction according to most? So maybe it's because of that, because Purim has this whole different Kabbalah distinction going on, and Hanukkah doesn't. That could be a simple answer. It's not the answer that you find really in the Achronim who talk about this. If you saw the Mishnah Berurah, for example, Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that, although he maybe alludes to it, because he mentions the Bahag's position as part of the answer, that when it comes to Megillah, you have the Bahag Mikra and Mikra Megillah and Shmias Megillah, and you don't have that by Hanukkah. So if that's what the Bahag meant, then okay, that's the distinction. Alternatively, he mentions the Kavanat Tzibur issue, that since we have this notion that Lahalacha, women shouldn't lain from the Torah, so too, maybe Mikra Megillah is put in the same category, so therefore the mitzvah was never that they should read, it's only that they should listen. And maybe Hanukkah, again, we have no such consideration. Maybe. Another possibility is the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, who's really talking about Ketanim, but the logic seems to apply. Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi in Siman Yud Gimel says that we have a katan shegiya l'chinuch. The reason he could light for the menorah, but he can't read the Megillah in Shul, is because it's different mechanisms. That reading the Megillah in Shul is Shomei Ka'ona. You have to be mechuyev to be motzi somebody else. But lighting Hanukkah candles, as we've indicated in the past, we mentioned this when we talked about the sugi of Chovas Abayis, so maybe it's not about being motzi anyone. It's about the hadlaka being a din in the household. So therefore, maybe a katan shegiya l'chinuch is enough in the parsha that he can qualify as a hadlaka for the household, even if it's not the same level of obligation. So maybe that's the issue, that really as far as the halachas of being motzi people, it wouldn't really work. But maybe the Neir's Hanukkah did not require that mechanism of being motzi someone. These are all possibilities. So if you maintain that Hanukkah doesn't have any such distinction, and Purim does, it's relatively easy to find distinctions between Purim and Hanukkah, why we should have this issue when it comes to Purim and not have it in the context of Hanukkah. There is a minority view, though, that does assume there is such a limitation by Hanukkah as well, and that view is mostly found in the Meiri, right? The Meiri quotes from a minority of the Rishonim that we have the same type of distinction, that you can't be motzi, a woman can't be lighting on behalf of a man, just like she can't read Megillah on behalf of a man. There are those who suggest as well that maybe the Rambam is getting at this, because the Rambam just doesn't tell you at all what the story is. If you look at the Rambam, right, the Rambam doesn't mention the chiyuv of women one way or another. And he just kind of is so same on the matter, so the language of the Rambam is, this Perek Dalet Halacha Tes. Sorry?
The Meiri still says Ishin Gufo?
The Meiri...
Who says the woman can't light half a man?
What about Ishin Gufo?
Yeah.
So is that the reason you mean?
Is that a question? What about?
So yeah, in terms of then, she would be lighting on behalf of him if you say Ishin Gufo and apply it.
Or
that
is
way.
Like, hey, he's lighting because of
Gufo. So it means she's out of the picture because he's doing it?
I mean, when she lights, is she a woman lighting the man, or is he like, as if he's really lighting?
And therefore, if you say that, then it should work.
Yeah.
Right. So then, but the Meiri doesn't. The Meiri does think it works, but he quotes this minority view that it doesn't work. So according to the minority view, presumably you wouldn't apply Yishtok Gufo here, even though our general attitude is we do apply Yishtok Gufo. But that's working off the assumption that you can do it. So what does the Rambam just say? He says Ner Chanukah should liku cheru shot v'katan no akum lo asa klum actually keno mishu hu chayev behadlaka. And then he goes on to something else. He doesn't really explicitly say one way or another about the women. And the Hagos Maimonides, he points out that there's a missing line here. Right? So if you saw the Hagos Maimonides, so he adds the line that's missing from the Gemara, Yisha Vada Medlekes, Damar Rabbi Shulam Levi, Nashim Chayavus B'nei Chanukah. So that should have been Mukharri in the Mishnah Torah. Why isn't it? So that's a discussion. The Pri Chadash quotes those who had a problem with this. Why is the Rambam leaves this out? So we're not 100% clear on what the Rambam's position is on this issue, but that seems to be at least a minority view that we have a similar structure from Megillah, that the woman is chayiv, but she can't do it on behalf of men. So when we look at the Megillah issue, so we said before that one way to see things is it's just a quantitative difference in chayiv. There's another whole set of interpretations that are those who maintain that the chiyuv of, let's say, Mikra Megillah is made up of two things. It's made up of Pursumei Nisa and X. And women are Pturos from X. What is X? Many different versions. Some say it's Halal. Women are Pturos from Halal, right, based on that Gemara that we mentioned. And Megillah Daf Yudalid, that Kriyas and Megillah is also the Taurus Halal, so that maybe it means that when we read the Megillah on Purim, we're both saying Halal and doing Pursumei Nisa. So Afen Hayu Ba'oso Anes means Yechayiv and Pursumei Nisa, but it doesn't necessarily work for other aspects. Or another version, the Rav has a print of the Masorah Journal, the Stipler has, maybe it's Akim and Talmud Torah, maybe Nashim Pturus and Talmud Torah. Another version they have in Marcheshes is that Marcheshes was the Rav of Vilna after Reb Chaim Ozer, Reb Chanukah Egish, that maybe it has to do with Mochama, that maybe Kriyas and Megillah is a din in Zechira Samalik, which is a din in Mechia Samalik, which is a din in Mochama, so maybe women are pata from that. So essentially have many different versions of this idea that basically boils down to Megillah is Pursumei Nisa plus X, fill in X with whatever theory you like. X happens to be something women are pater from, so they're only involved partially in Mikra Megillah, and or in Megillah, I should say, and therefore it's not going to be able to be motzi men. So the problem with all these theories is that they, for the most part, do not explain why things break down the way they do. That if you want to say it's just a quantitative distinction, that you don't have all the parts, okay. But the phrasing of Kriyas Megillah versus Shmias Megillah, that all these other things, Kriyas Megillah is Halal, Amalek, Mochama, Talmud Torah, whatever it is. But Pursumei Nisa is Shmia. And if that's what the Bahag means, why does it line up that way? So nobody really fills in that part until the Avnei Nezer came along. The Halig Avnei Nezer is always can be relied on to say something fascinating. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva where he says a fantastic chiddush to explain why that is. And if you look in Rabbi Willig's Sefer on Moed about Chanukah, he seems to be drawing on this in his explanation of the Ner Chanukah issue. He doesn't quote the Avnei Nezer there, but I think you need the Avinezer as background to what he's getting at. So if you look up the Amorachai later, you'll understand it better if you know this Avinezer first. I remember from Moshe Kolo, but Willig is into this Avinezer, but I don't think he quotes it in the Sefer. So the Avinezer says as follows. It's a very long point. Kidarko starts off with a different kasha that you have to really, again, as Kidarko, the Avinezer, you have to really fasten your seatbelts and hold cup for this. So it says as follows. Different kasha. There is a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, Defayin Dalin, where the Gemara says basically as follows. We have a halacha of Yehari Valyavra that if you're pressured to do any of the big three, Gilei Arayah, Shlichus Damim, or Avodah Zarah, you have to give up your life. And the other Aveira is not. Then the Gemara goes on to say, but if it's before Hesia, if any Aveira before Hesia, you'd also have a din of Yehari Valyavra. So the Gemara says, really? So wasn't Esther before Hesia? Because Esther intermarried and she married Achashverosh, wasn't that before Hesia? So the Gemara has two answers. One of the answers is that Karka Olam, that essentially implying that she was passive, that the female role in this act is essentially passive, and therefore it's not a din of Hari Vayava. So some of the Rishonim ask that shouldn't we say that that's not true? The Gemara says in Bava Kamma that when you have an act of arayos, so then we say that Hishva Hakasav Ish LeIsha L'Chol Onshin Shabbatorah, that however passive the woman may be, as long as she's willing, so then we treat her as an equal partner. We consider her to be doing an active maisa halachically. So the halacha does not see her as passive in this case. So why should we answer Karka Olam? So says the Avnei Ezer as follows. I think he bases this on a Kesef Mishnah and Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, if I remember correctly. Says that we have a klal. Says anything that is only known to Talmidei Chachamim is not considered to be well known. As much as we'd like to believe the Beis Medrash is the whole world, but anything that's only known in the Beis Medrash is not considered public knowledge. So therefore, the Gemara's question was Esther's act considered to be befarhesia? Right? She did something publicly. So to that, the Gemara says, no, from the perspective of the public, as far as farhesia is concerned, she's passive. It's karka olam. So, you'll tell me, no, the halacha doesn't see it that way. The halacha sees her as active. That doesn't count as something happening with farhesia, because that's only known to Talmidei Chachamim, that's only known in the Beis Medrash, that the halacha sees it this way. So that's not public knowledge. You have to be a lamdan to know it, it's not called public knowledge. Follow so far? So the Gemara says, Avera, Esther did this Avera of a Farhesia, and the answer is it was passive. No, because as far as the Farhesia is concerned, it was passive. Then the public is not assumed to be lamdanim. So therefore, says the Avnei Ezer, this is true here as well, that if you have a halacha of pirsume nisa, something has to be publicized, so then you can't rely on a lamdus. So to say the mitzvah is mikra megillah, but as we said before, 99% of all the Jews who fulfill the mitzvah of megillah, how do they do it? What do they do? If I ask the average non-lamdusha Jew on the street the day after Purim, I say to him, so did you read the megillah yesterday? What will he say to me? Say, no, he didn't read the Megillah. He went to shul. He had this very wonderful Baal Korah. He was reading the Megillah. He just listened. Now, halachically, the answer is yes, he did read the Megillah because of Shemaya Ka'onim. But that can't be called Pirsume Nisa. You can't say that there is publicity coming from that because the public doesn't know that they read the Megillah. The public thinks they heard the Megillah. So therefore, the Pirsum can only come through hearing the Megillah, not through reading it, which is only a lumdish effect. Follow? Okay, so if that's the case, so then with that background, now if you want to read the Amordechai, you see that Rabbi Willi uses a similar svara here, but this is the background. It says that the idea of lighting the menorah is not very public. It's only seeing the menorah that is very public. So therefore, the pirsumei nisa is really focused on the seeing of the menorah. So essentially, he's mechadesh that when we say that women are chayavos in Chanukah, what we really mean is they're chayavos in a different mitzvah, in a mitzvah called Re'ias Ner Chanukah. Because that's what's public. The pirsum comes through the seeing the Ner Chanukah, not through the lighting the Ner Chanukah. And therefore, he suggests that maybe that's the logic that says that it's comparable in a sense to Mikra Megillah. There is a similar approach along different lines. Rav Dov Schwartzman, who was the Rashiv of Beis HaTalmud, this is an article that was published in a sefer called Chanukah Savram, where he maintained, as we mentioned in the past, that maybe you have two chiyuvim by the Ner Chanukah. You have a Chovas HaBayis and the Chovas Agavra, that the individual has an obligation to light Hanukkah candles, and there's a mitzvah of the household. So the household mitzvah, he understands, is a pirsumei nisa function. The individual chiyuv of lighting a menorah That's midin hoda, and that's a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, essentially. So women are pater from that component. But they're chayiv in the idea of hadlakas habayis, because that's pursuming nisa, and afen hayuba oso hanes. So essentially, normally a man has both chiyuvim, and he fulfills his personal chiyuv through the hadlaka in his household. So maybe according again to this minority view, which does not seem to be accepted by halacha, but maybe the lumdus of it is that the woman is not obligated to, is not able to be motzi the man, because she doesn't have the full complement of chiyuvim. She only has the pursuing nisa chiyuv, which is the hadakas habayis, but not the personal chiyuv, which is essentially a mitzvah sasei shehazman gram. So again, those are basic suggestions in order to draw a parallel between the approach that we see by Mikra Megillah and the approach that might exist by Ner Chanukah. But again, it's a minority view. This is not the way it's normally seen. If the Rambam does indeed think women are also not motzi men, there's another suggestion in a contemporary sefer called Minchas Meir by Meir Ruz, where he thought that maybe you could say like this, that maybe you could say that, this also draws on earlier discussions that we've had, that maybe Neris Chanukah is really patterned after two nisim, the nes of the Haslacha from the Mochama, and the nes of the Pachash Amen. And then we have to figure out, are women part of the nes of Pachash Amen or not? So here you find different discussions about this. Some assume yes, some assume no. He assumes that maybe it's totally an interesting machlokas. I think we talked about it in Parsha Shir last year, that Rabbi Akiva Eger has a tshuva where he says that he thinks women should be pater from musaf. And the Tzlach, the Rabbi Yehuda, had a similar position in his Kedushim to Brachos. Why should they be pater from musaf? Because the korban musaf was paid for by the machzeh shekel. And if women didn't have a chiyuv to participate in the machzeh shekel, so maybe the musaf that comes from that, they should be paturis from. But most achronim don't accept this. They pointed out it would be a problem also, because the same logic would mean that a bar mitzvah boy under the age of 20 should also be pater. And therefore, it's going to shter everyone's bar mitzvahs. As you can say that the bar mitzvah boy can't daven musaf for the amud because he's pater from musaf, you're going to have a big chiddush with a lot of ramifications. So I think we discussed this in the Parsha Shir last year, maybe. There are those who suggest a distinction that maybe this could still be true and it wouldn't apply to bar mitzvah boys. But most achronim assume that women are chayavos and musaf, and that this lumdus is not true. But he wanted to suggest that the question of whether women have a chelek in the setting up of the menorah is related. You say that only those who donate to the machzeh shekel are therefore shayach to the elements of the Beis HaMikdash, the karbanos, and the hadlakas haner? Or do you say no, that even if you're not a part of the payment, even if you're not those who give the machzeh shekel, so you're still connected to this whole system in that sense? So he thought that maybe that's a little bit of a machlokes, that the nes of the Pach HaShemen apply to women as well. And if not, then maybe you could say that there's two chiyuvim for men and only one chiyuv for women. That's a creative lumdus. It's a little bit harder to say, because even if you want to say two reasons for the chiyuv, it still doesn't come out to a different chiyuv. You need a little bit more to say that it's a different chiyuv. But okay, it's a creative approach. There's a similarly creative approach, which we'll mention in a minute, that even though the majority view seems to be that women can light on behalf of men and women are chayavos, but in practice, so we find that many women have a minig not to light the menorah. So the question is, why not? The Shaar Ephraim raises this question, because the Shaar Ephraim comments on the Ramah that the Mahajim and the Mahajim, all the members of the household, should light. So what's pshat that he saw that women were not lighting the menorah? So if we're talking about married women, as some respond to him, okay, so married women, fine. That's perhaps understandable because of Ishtoka Gufo. So the husband can light on behalf of the wife can light on behalf of the husband, so we don't need both of them lighting. So if the husband is lighting, so that could explain the minig why married women don't light. But what about unmarried women? So there are many places where unmarried women don't light either. So what's that based on? So the Chassam Sofer has a famous comment where he says that it has to do with tznius. He says, since kol kvuda bas malach pinima, that the woman should stay inside the house, he says, so since the hadlaka was done mibachutz, so therefore the minig developed that they wouldn't go outside the houses to light.
Wasn't he only saying that this man they were lighting up?
So then he goes on to say that that was how the minig developed, and then it continued that way.
Okay.
But some ask on that even then, but what about if you live by Aliyah, and what about the machlokas, Rashi, and Tosos, whether outside means outside the chutzah, outside the door in front of the chutzah, and tell them didn't come out to the chutzah. So there were those who felt this was not a satisfactory explanation, as you can imagine, for a number of reasons. But the Chassam Sofer is a well-known interpretation, but there are those who take issue with it. And he points out, those who object, they point out, so what are you going to tell me that there's a little plug? That, oh, well, so you know, they don't light in the on Aliyah or inside because of a little plug. It's not there was a takana for women not to light. If there was a, if we had a Gemara that said women shouldn't light, and then we explained it based on this, you could say a little plug. But there's no such Gemara. So a minig should presumably differentiate based on the circumstances. So there is a very creative approach in the Sefer Ner Yisrael, which I mentioned, I think, once before. It's a Sefer in the back of the Hilchos Chag B'Chag. With Moshe Mordechai Karp, a very well-known posek in Eretz Yisrael, has a series of Sfarim called Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos, Hilchos Chag B'Chag, etc., etc. So he has a volume on Chanukah. In the back of his volume on Chanukah, he has a Lamdish Sefer called Ner Yisrael. I think he wrote it also, but it's a different style than his halachic sefer in the beginning. So he has an interesting approach. So he wants to say like this. He says, how do we get into the whole concept of Iker Mitzvah and Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin? So he says as follows. He thinks that the Iker Mitzvah of lighting in the household, that was because we were saved from destruction. That was because of the Mohammed. Then we have a concept of Mahadrin Ner L'Kol Echad V'Echad. So as we saw, there's a difference between the Rambam and the Ramah, how that's done. The Rambam has the Balabas lighting for everyone. And in that case, it means that he's being more specific, that not only do we thank God for saving us, we get more specific for saving mommy and daddy and this one and that one, and we list everybody specifically. But according to the Ramah, that's a whole different idea, that it means that we choose to be Yotzei ourselves rather than having the Balabas be Motzei us. Says that's because there were also so many gezeiros about specific mitzvos that were squelched, so we counteract that by seeking more opportunities to show love for mitzvos by doing them ourselves and not being Yotzei through the head of the household. And then the Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin, of Moshe Faholech, more per night, so that's because of the Pach Hashem. So that he wants to say, he's very creative. He says that, okay, so women are chayiv in the Iker candle, Ner Yishu Beso, because they were saved from the war. Afen Hoyi Boso Anes. And he says the Pach Hashem, and they're also Shaykhtu, that's different than the position mentioned a few minutes ago of the Mechus Meir. So therefore, he says, if the woman is the only one lighting, which, you know, if there's no men in the household, then women for sure would light. So then they also do Mahadrin and Mahadrin, they light per night. So because that they're also Shaykh too, because that's about the Pach HaShemen. So that they'll do. But if it's this middle level, the Mahadrin of Ner L'Kol Echad V'Echad, the Ramah, says, so what's that based on? Is that's based on specific mitzvos that they weren't allowed to do, and therefore we show a chavivus for mitzvos by going above and beyond, doing it ourselves. So he wants to suggest, he says, that women weren't really part of. Because if you look at the interpretations of Afen Hoyu Boso Hanes, right, so Rashi on our daf says, what does it mean Afen Hoyu Boso Hanes? What is the Rambam's opinion? A lot of the Rishonim say that there was this specific gezeira that the women who wanted to get married would have to submit themselves to the Greeks, and they had a personal sakana from that perspective. So he says, you see that they had to go out of their way to explain it differently, not that they were part of the gzeirus not to do the mitzvos, but that there was a different type of concern they had. So he assumes that the specific mitzvos, like Bris Milah and Talmud Torah, that women, that were, the Yevanim were concerned about, were not mitzvos that were being performed by women. So therefore, this Mila of Mahadrin, that is not shaykh to them. So the Iker mitzvah and Mahadrin, yes, but the Mahadrin of Ne'er L'Kol Echad V'Echad, not. So it's a very creative approach. As it wants to suggest that that's how it comes out, that they're chayiv to be included in the household, and if they are the one lighting by themselves on behalf of the household, then they'll do Mahadrin and Mahadrin. But if the man is lighting on behalf of the household, then even the unmarried women who have a minig not to, that's why. It's a creative suggestion. This whole idea of afen hoy ba'oso anes, as we mentioned previously, is a big machlokas what it means, whether it means that because they were the heroines of the story, or because they were ba'oso hasakana. And that's itself a whole discussion here, and then Megillah, what exactly means. And there's a good discussion in the Gemara Psachim also, I didn't put the Psachim Sugya and the Gemara Makomos, but there it's a big discussion in the Rishonim as well. So if you say they were the heroines, so then the Rishonim bring the idea of Yehudis, her story with getting the general drunk and killing him. So there is a little bit of a suffix about this story. You find some svarim, there's a little bit of a suffix if it really happened during the days of Hanukkah. It may have happened at an earlier time. So that's a little bit of a glitch according to that position in the Rishonim. So that may be why it's a little bit of a machlokas. There are different views on this. But in any event, this is also relevant to the practice that women have not to do malacha during the time when the candles are lit. So that the Ramah and the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this idea that because of their special role in bringing about this miracle, so they see it as a little bit more of a yantiv, and therefore don't engage in malacha just during that time when the candles are lit. And the Aruch HaShulchan, when he says this, he adds in the line, even though this was not during Yom HaChanukah, it was a different time. So it's a little bit of a historical suffix when exactly this story happened, whether it connects to Hanukkah directly, indirectly, but it's something that we take note of at this point. And as Jonathan mentioned during our Chagiga, that could also be connected to a practice to eat dairy, to eat the cheese, to eat things like that. That's why we were marked to have pizza for our party. Right, exactly. This idea connects to that practice. Okay, so maybe we'll stop with that. I'll just quickly review what we spoke about. We spoke about the fact that the Gemara seems to say clearly that women are obligated and give the impression that women can light on behalf of the household, and that's probably the case. That's what it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch and the way the Magen Avraham reads it. So the question we just discussed is, if that's so, if we assume that when it comes to Purim, we have a different structure, that women are chayavos, but they can't be motzi men. It was machlok Rishonim, some Rishonim said they can be motzi men, but the Shulchan Aruch adopts the view of the Bahag that women cannot be motzi men. So why is that? Parenthetically, by the way, so it sounds like, even according to the Bahag, that women can be motzi women. However, even that is a little bit disputed. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Medrash Nelam that women should not read even on behalf of women. And Rav Soloveitchik understood that to mean that he thought the idea of women being chayavos and shmias Megillah, so it's kind of ironic, it's kind of over-lumdicizing to say it's a chiyuv, it's a different chiyuv kriya than men. The way he understood it means it's a chiyuv to listen, to be a part of the audience. So therefore it doesn't manifest itself as a chiyuv kriya at all. So even on behalf of other women, women can't read because they're not shaykh at all to kriya, which is an interesting perspective. But in any event, so then what's the difference between this and Hanukkah, if there is a difference, which is the majority view? The Meiri quotes a minority position. But if we assume that there is a difference, so we mentioned various chilukim. We mentioned, first of all, if you say that it's a different Kabbalah Durabanan issue by Purim, that's not going to carry over to Hanukkah because Hanukkah is a straight Durabanan. Or that maybe Mishnah Berurah quotes the opinion that maybe it's a Kavanat Tzibur issue because it involves laning. We mentioned the Chacham Tzvi by Katan, that it's a different structure. It's not about being motzi anyone. It's about lighting on behalf of the household. And such. But then the question is, there is a minority view, which may even be the Rambam, because the Rambam is silent on the point that women can't light on behalf of men. So what's that based on? So we mentioned when it comes to Purim that there's also an approach that it's Pershumi Nisa plus X, and that women are not Chayavos in X, and maybe we have something similar here. And that the assumption is Pershumi Nisa is just Shmia. We explained the Athanasius whole mahalach, that anything that's only known to Lamdanim is not called public, so Persim Nisa by Megillah has to be Shmia because nobody understands that it's halachically called Kriya. So too, when it comes to Ner Chanukah, Rabbi Willig suggests that Ner Chanukah is only about Re'iyah for Persim Nisa, and therefore we're only chayav in that, in this view. And we mentioned also the approach of others that perhaps the mitzvah of Dov Schwartzman, that perhaps there's a Chovas Abayas and a Chovas Agavra, and the Chovas Abayas is Pershim Nisa and Afen Hayibos and Neis, and the Chovas Agavra is the mitzvah Sasei Shahazman Grama. And then we talked about also the position about if the Rambam doesn't eat Pater, so we mentioned the suggestion that maybe the Neiris are based on two Nisim, and that women, we have to figure out whether they're part of the Pach Hashem and miracle or not. Maybe that also ties in to the question by Musaf, the Homachlokas for Rechayavus and Musaf. And then we talked about the minig that many women have not to light, so if it's married women, Yishtuk Gufo could explain it. But if we're not talking about married women, so what's Pshat? So the famous Pshat is Achsam Sofer, of Kol Kvuda Bas Melech Pnima, but there are a number of objections to that Pshat. We mentioned a very creative Pshat of Moshe Mordechai Karp, that the three levels, the three chayuvim, are based on three different aspects of the nes, and women are chayavos in Neru Shebeso and Mahadrin Min Mahadrin, but not the Ramaz Mahadrin level of being motzi, of being yotzei on one's own, rather than being yotzei through somebody else. And then we talked a little bit about the whole question of Yehudis and Afin Hayibosu Hanes, what exactly is it referring to, and the possibility also that Yehudis may have been an earlier time, and nonetheless how this impacts the current minig of women not doing malacha during the time when the candles are burning, and also the minig to have pizza and to have cheese and dairy. All right, so I wish everyone a wonderful day. So God willing, for tomorrow...